when I walk on by. Girls be looking like damn a fly. Damn to the beat, walking down the street in my new to freak, yeah. This is how I roll, animal print pants out of control. It's Red Boo, I got the flow, yeah. Like Bruce Lee, I got the flow, yeah. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. I work out. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Work out, work it out. When I'm on a spot, this is what I see. Everybody stop, and they're staring at me. Passion in my pants, ain't afraid to show it. I'm sexy and I know it. Sexy and I know it. When I'm at the mall, security just can't find them off. When I'm at the beach, mini speedo trying to tan my cheeks now. This is how I roll, come on ladies, it's time to go. Headed to a bar, baby, don't be nervous. No shoes, no shirt, I still get service. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. I work out. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. I work out, work it out. When I'm on the spot, this is what I see. Everybody stop, and I stare at me. Passion in my pants, ain't afraid to show it. I'm sexy and I know it. 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 Wiggle, 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 yeah. 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 I'm a wiggle man. I'm the wiggle man. I'm a 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 wiggle man. Sexy and I know it. Sexy and I know it. Sexy and I know it.
Hey, and welcome to episode 5 of Euchre Talk with Rob and Crispy and Justin, Kyle.
Howdy ho.
Yeah, there we go.
Hello! Like talk.
Yeah.
Hi there, people.
So, of course, this is the periodic podcast where we talk about the fantastic card game Euchre that I just learned like a week or two ago, but which is weird that I would have had a long-running podcast about a game I didn't know how to play, but you know what? I've got a lot of free time. So, let's talk. Crispy, go ahead and start us off.
Alrighty, folks. So we had two big game titles come out this week. Darksiders 2 and Sleeping Dogs. Darksiders 2 is a follow-up to the popular first game where you played War. In this version, you play his brother, Death.
Wait, now, was it really popular?
To be honest, I don't recall it whatsoever. I've heard you talk about you think it's a AAA title. I'd love to say that. I don't normally enjoy this type of game, and I've thoroughly been immersed in it, but I really feel like it was more of a C+, B- level game. It does have a following that's obvious by how the limited edition of the second one sold so quickly, but I don't think a lot of people see it on level with, say, the Assassin's Creeds or the Call of Duties.
Yeah, because, I mean, I vaguely recall the first one coming out, but it was not a big deal. So I'm just calling you a liar, basically, is what I'm saying.
You're wrong. You're both wrong. You can suck my penis, okay? This is totally a triple A game title. I know because I saw it on the interwebs, and they told me it was so.
Oh.
And everyone is talking about it. And I'm
Holy
right.
Crap, something on the internet wasn't true. The world's going to end.
No, it has definitely, the first one was not as popular as this one. That is true, but it is considered successful, and this one has been getting a lot of buzz. The interesting thing about this game is it sounds like the studio that created it might be going out of business, so they were able to push this out, and they may, the publisher may end up handing it off to someone else. It's unknown yet. It's still pretty recent news. We may not get to see the other two Horsemen of the Apocalypse get their own games.
Disappointing. But yeah, I heard that the first one like just barely sold enough to justify the second one, but I agree with you. I've seen shit for this all over the place. They've been pushing, trying to get the second one out there.
Yeah, no, this is this has been promoted pretty highly, and there's been a lot of good buzz. So, I think people are really liking it. It's kind of got a neat twist on it. It kind of takes, as I heard someone mention, it's kind of like a Frankenstein in that it takes several good parts of different games. It's definitely action adventure, kind of like God of War, but throws in a little bit of the Zelda games, and
that's definitely how the first one was. I've heard plenty of people compare it to Zelda. It does have its God of War aspects. It does have a lot of different things to mash it up, but it does it well. It's not as bad as, say, and this is definitely going on a limb, Ghost Rider game, which was blatantly a ripoff of God of War. This doesn't blatantly, shamefully rip anything off. It just kind of picks from here and there and mixes it up.
And the concept is very cool in itself, too. But let's face it, Death looks pretty badass. So I don't know if you guys have seen pictures, but he starts off looking pretty cool. He's not, you know, he's got his scythes and everything, but you know, he's got like this really cool ass mask and is built like a mofo, so ripping people apart. So it's all good. So yeah, the early reviews have been pretty good. So
to top that off, I think what's going to appeal to a lot of people is they've really expanded on the RPG aspect this time. I know one of the biggest things they've been promoting is how you can customize Death, customize his weapons, his look, his armor. In the first one, it was kind of frustrating. You don't really see anything affect the character. You just kind of upgrade the weapons, and that's supposed to be showing you you're getting stronger as you upgrade your weapons and acquire more moves. In this one, you actually get, say, armor, where it adds to your speed or adds to your defense. It's actually playing that RPG aspect, and you can actually see your character progressing, which I think is going to, you know, draw in a few more people.
Yeah, and it's open world. It's not as linear as a lot of these act games tend to be. Keep your eyes open up for that one. If you get a chance to play it, I highly recommend it. I've watched lots of gameplay, and even just watching it is pretty entertaining. Also this week was Sleeping Dogs. This is like a follow-up. Kyle can talk more about this, of a previous game, True Crime Hong Kong.
Pretty much the spiritual successor to True Crime and True Crime New York. It started life as True Crime Hong Kong, but once it got ditched by its previous distributor, it was picked up by someone else who didn't have the rights to the True Crime franchise, and they changed it to Sleeping Dogs.
So this is like a Grand Theft Auto, but if it took place in like a Hong Kong kung fu movie. Like there is some shooting in it, but really it's more fighting. You're taking on the triad.
I actually got to play a demo of this out at Comic-Con when I was there last month, and it's a lot of fun. It kind of reminds me of the Punisher game that was out with a lot of the kills that you can do environmentally.
Was a fun game.
Yeah, and you can do that in this game, and it was a heck of a lot of fun just playing the one stage that they allowed us to play out there. But yeah, it's good. The controls felt a little off, like they needed to be tightened up, but it could have been just that too many people were playing it there and it wasn't going like it should have been, but it was a lot of fun, and actually one that I'm looking forward to.
And the best part?
Well, I know it's the thing that stinks about Sleeping Dogs, I think it went under a lot of people's radars because they think it's a new IP, and in addition, it doesn't seem to be as on the radar. It didn't get as much promotion as the Darksiders. So I think it's not really been shoved in enough people's faces, and despite good reviews, I'm afraid it might be one that kind of gets left behind.
It's possible. This game, it seems to me that the promotion's been out there too for this game along with Darksiders. So these are two heavily promoted games for this week. The best part about Sleeping Dogs, you can kill someone by slapping them with a fish. That's an achievement in the game, so can't beat that. So I think that's all for games, you know, this week, the big games that came out. So let's we can move on. We've pretty much wrapped up the summer movies here. We've got Expendables 2 comes out this weekend to some pretty good reviews. Are you guys going to go see it?
Definitely.
I will
go first, but definitely going to go see it.
I will probably watch it when it comes on cable. Probably.
Like, have you watched the first one?
Yeah, I saw the first one, and I just totally did not give a shit. Which is weird because I grew up in the 80s and I loved all the Schwarzenegger movies, and I just could not have cared less when this came out. Like, it seemed like a funny kind of joke. Like, yeah, that's a fucking great idea. Like, a great idea on the level of Snakes on a Plane being a great fucking idea. And then I saw the movie and it was just completely forgettable. Like, I don't remember anything about it except there's a big airplane. That's what I remember. There's a big airplane.
It's a fun
and
ride,
Mickey Rourke is fucking terrifying looking. Like, if I ran into Mickey Rourke in an alley, I would throw my wallet at him and then run away screaming. That's
what I know. Fun ride, but once you're done, you're not anxious to get back in line again.
Yeah, so I just totally do not care that a second one's coming out. It seems like they made a second one just so they could throw like Chuck Norris and Jean-Claude Van Damme in it. They're like, there's two people. The only two people we didn't get, we'll just throw them in it. And that's. I just don't care.
But exactly, they fixed their one mistake from the first one. They put Chuck Norris in it.
That's right. You can't fail with Chuck Norris in it.
You can fail.
Well, apparently the critics say that this did not fail. So we will see this weekend. It's supposedly better than the first one. I think you get some more, you know, Arnold isn't the governor anymore. So I think he's in this one a little bit longer, you know, like it's a little more than cameos this time for some of the people. So I think people enjoyed it. And there is already talk for about Expense 3. So
yeah, of course there is.
Well, they must have crappy ass Xbox Live download only video game for it.
Yeah, well, we all know about movie game titles and just how those almost never work out. Maybe we'll do an episode where we talk about like actual just movie titles and maybe ones that we thought worked out and the other 95% that didn't. So let's see what else we've got. Judge Dredd's hitting in I think next month. So, but other than that, you know, we've discussed our reservations and hopes for that movie prior to this episode. But yeah, so you know, what were some of your guys' favorites as far as movies this summer? Yeah, obviously you've got Avengers and
Prometheus.
Yeah, I've been to a shocking lack of movies this summer. Probably because there's like. I moved in the middle of the summer, and there's one movie theater within like half an hour of me, and it is just completely insane to try to go there. Like the parking lot on a weekend night, it's in a shopping center too, so it's a big shopping center with like a Staples and a PetSmart and like several large anchor stores in there. So there is a massive parking lot. And on a weekend night, every single spot is full, and people are like parking on the grass, the little green areas that surrounds the parking lot. It's just complete insanity. So it's pretty much driven me away from the movies, and that's very sad.
That is sad.
Yeah.
You need a hug?
I don't like to be touched.
It's true.
So yeah. You want a group hug?
Yes, that's exactly what I want. But I did, before I moved, I did get to see The Avengers, and I really, really liked that. Saw Brave, and I enjoyed Brave quite a bit.
Brave is very good.
And there was something I saw, and I don't remember what it was.
It was so good.
It came out. It came out at the first week of July, and I don't recall what it was. But I enjoyed it also.
Who was in it?
I don't recall. I know what theater I went to. And that,
well, that sounds like the only one there is.
No, this was before I moved. This was two nights before we moved. We went to, there's this place in Orlando called the Aloma Cinema Grill. And it's like you go in and they've got, it's like a restaurant with a movie theater, with a movie screen. It's basically what it is. So it was not Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, although I did see that. And that was pretty much exactly what you would expect it to have been. The title.
I know, Abraham Lincoln with the freaking act. I mean, yeah, I don't see how that could go wrong at all. Fight fires.
For what it was, Lorax was actually entertaining enough.
The summer?
I'm sorry, that was about March. My bad.
Yeah, saw Poe. I think that was early summer. And that was it was Spider-Man. That's the one I went and saw in the Aloma Cinema Grill.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, that was.
I think that was probably better than the Raimi's,
And of course, there was Medea's Witness Protection.
Yeah, you can't miss that one.
No.
Yeah. So, I take it you the Abraham Vampire Hunter was in your not so favorites then?
No, it was fine. Yeah, I mean it was exactly what you would expect from a movie called Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. a whole lot of Abraham Lincoln fighting vampires. And it had one of the McFoyles from Always Sunny in Philadelphia as the
So basically promised on its title, and that was good enough for you.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, yeah, I did not walk into the theater expecting a great movie or even a good movie. And, but it was a fun, 90 minutes or 2 hours or however long it was. So,
if it gives you any hints, it was the book was written by the same person who did Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Which is actually a really good book, though.
Oh, it is. It's fantastic.
Yeah. I didn't read Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter book, though.
There should just be like a whole franchise. You should have Abraham Vampire Hunter, like back in biblical times. And
he just goes back in time.
No, not Abraham Lincoln. It's Abraham, the biblical character Abraham.
Oh, Abraham. I thought you were going all Aqua Teen
Hunger. No, just various people named Abraham.
Gotcha. Vampire. He's a descendant. Did you actually know, I'm going to sidetrack for a second, that Earl of Sandwich is actually owned by the 11th iteration of the Earl of Sandwich?
I did not know that, but...
In England?
Those are just absolutely delicious sandwiches.
They were fantastic, yes. But moving on, so I know Kyle saw Prometheus and he gave us his review of it. He enjoyed it. Would you see any other movies that you like, dislike this summer?
Sadly, I've only seen three movies in the last couple of months. Like I said, I saw Lorax, which released in summer. I don't remember when I saw this. I think it was closer to summer. I actually went and saw Dark Shadows. Yes, it was summer because it was between that or Avengers, and the only Avengers they had was 3D, and I heard that I actually ruined the experience. So I went to see Dark Shadows. It was actually entertaining. Johnny Depp did a fine job. The story was okay. My only complaint is it actually is good up until about the last fifth, when it's like they pretty much throw the story, the plot, the concept out the window and say, screw it, we're just going to do as much random crap as we can. And that it pretty much is a downward spiral until it ends. But honestly, I'd say it's definitely worth a watch. If it comes on, it might even be worth a rent if it's on Netflix or something. It was worth watching.
My sleeper that ended up being a great film this summer, Ted.
That looked hysterical.
I haven't had a chance to see that one yet. It's made $3 million this weekend, and it's been out how many, freaking weeks now?
It is absolutely hilarious. I went in with low expectations, but, especially if you like, Seth MacFarlane and all that in
his
humor.
His tried and true arithmetic, a person plus inanimate object equals funny seems to work out for him. Or not an inanimate object, but thing that shouldn't talk.
That does, yeah. He he definitely knows how to create that theme, but it's done particularly well. It made a lot of money for R comedy. That's just pretty rare these days. It's hard to sell those.
I don't know about that either. I'm going to disagree because the Hangover, the first one, kind of was the first R-rated comedy in recent memory that did amazing amounts of money, and since then they've been putting out more of them.
Yeah, speaking you could say that's been true. Actually, looks quite funny.
That's kind of been true even since there's been something about Mary. It's definitely been more.
Was that our recent?
Yeah, that
there's was something about Mary. Oh yeah.
Oh yes.
Was it?
Yes.
It How would that was not it? Have been?
Pretty sure it was.
I don't
I've already
because
said it was.
I don't recall if that was.
That
or
was
not.
That was a big deal back then because the Farrelly brothers had put it out, and it was one that got an R, and they decided they weren't gonna change it to make it PG-13, and
I guarantee
that kind
R.
of
the naked wrinkly old lady definitely makes it worth an R.
Yes, even though it's mostly probably latex, but yeah, it's every once in a while what happens is an R movie will come out, a comedy will come out, and then there'll be a small spurt. They'll try, and then like with The Hangover, you had a small spurt of R movies after that didn't do so well. And then,
well, but you still had Hangover 2 and Bridesmaids, and Bridesmaids made like tons of money.
It did, yeah,
especially for being an R-rated comedy with a pretty much all female cast, which is essentially unheard of before that. So
yeah, I still say though you're betting against the house when you do an R comedy. I still think it's pretty hard to have a hit, because
does anyone else think that they're advertising? I think it's supposed to be like kind of the same genre. Hit and Run. It looks kind of funny.
What was that? Your garbled mess.
It's the one where the guy testified against his buddy, and his buddy's just trying to kill him for it.
Dax,
is that the one where they make Bradley Cooper not stunningly gorgeous?
Yeah,
Hit and Run, right?
Yeah, yeah, you couldn't hear Kyle because he's apparently talking in a tank of water. I don't know.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But yeah, no. Yeah, the trailer does look pretty funny. That comes out next week, I think, or the week after. And we've kind of skipped over, I guess, what was supposed to be one of the biggest movies of the summer. Did anyone see Dark Knight Rises?
Yeah, I saw it.
It was all right.
The second one was better.
Yep, the second one was the best of the three, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Who was it?
I agree.
Actually, honestly, I liked the first one better, too. I thought the Batman Begins was just excellent, and I don't know, maybe Dark Knight Rises suffered from heightened expectations or something.
Was it Drezzy who said that the third one was an amazing movie, but a crappy Batman movie?
Well, yeah, it's like, it's a great movie, I just wish Batman was in it. So, it's pretty much what it is. He's not in it so much, and they try and take it on a global scale. And Rob had mentioned this on the forums and stuff about how there's just glaring issues at hand with this approach, and how can you not diversify money in a $1 billion company at all? So should we do a spoiler? Well, we can just move on, I guess. So people,
anybody that is listening to this, all two of them, I'm sure they've seen the movie.
I've already said anyone that would be listening to this podcast, this awful podcast, would probably have seen it by now, and if not, they will. So, but anyway, so basically, Bruce Wayne loses all his money just from a stock market issue that's caused by the bad guy.
And why does he lose all of his money? Because what did the bad guy have to do?
Steal his fingerprint. It was that easy.
Well, not just that, but he had to make him lose all of his Wayne stock, which means that Bruce Wayne's entire billion-plus dollar fortune was wrapped up in one kind of stock.
Exactly.
You know what? He deserves to lose
all
of his money.
Well, I thought about this later on. I thought about later on. It sounded like he put all of his other assets, I guess, into that stupid fusion reactor. I think is what they were trying to So he put all the rest, I don't believe.
No, no, he put, from what I gathered, they put all the Wayne Industries, like, he put all of his company's eggs in that basket.
Yeah.
And that hurt the company's cash flow, but well, I guess what hurt his too, because they didn't even own Stately Wayne Manor. That apparently belongs to the company too. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. I know they had needed to make him hit rock bottom and everything, but and it also suffered from it's supposed to cover a period of like 7 months or something, you know, like in that time, like, you know, it's not a big surprise that they could go with the inspiration from the comic book and Bane, you know, breaks Batman's back, right? Not a huge spoiler there, but
he didn't break the back, he just knocked a vertebra out of it was also just ridiculous.
Pretty dumb. But the way they film it, and I think, you know, it's hard to cover that amount of time in a film. So 1 minute, you know, he's got a guy knocking that vertebrae into place in a crazy-ass jail, wherever the hell that was. And then next minute, he's doing push-ups on the floor. I guess that's supposed to be 2 months, you know, how many ever months later. I think I missed it was like a month later or something.
Well,
you know,
the approximately, you know, 3 years that he spent hiking back to Gotham from, you know, the middle.
Yeah, they don't explain how he got, with no money, world.
He walked and then he swam across the ocean because he's the goddamn Batman.
That's right.
Batman.
So, it had a lot of tense moments in it, and I was amazed Catwoman was not my biggest problem with the film. In fact, added to the film's my enjoyment of the film, I guess, in the long run. They did not cheese it over, and Anne Hathaway did a fantastic job. So, but yeah, mm-hmm. So Batman, Dark Knight Rises, I definitely agree. Not as good as the second one. Some people say maybe, and as time goes by, will be thought of as the best of the three just because it's the ending. But
well, those people are stupid.
I think so too. The second one, even though I think the first half hour of The Dark Knight was poorly edited. It's very choppy in that first half hour, but man, you hit that hour mark and it's a damn fine movie.
I was going to say, I have a retraction to make from a previous podcast where I...
What?
Yeah, I know.
What?
I hate to have to do this.
What?
But I like to be fair, and I made many disparaging remarks about 21 Jump Street, and specifically Channing Tatum. And
it was good, wasn't it? It was a funny ass movie.
It really was, and I was home and bored and watched it on TV, and I thought, wow, that was much funnier than I thought it would be.
Yeah, no,
especially Korean Jesus.
Korean Jesus, yep.
I have to watch that.
Everyone really shined in that movie, and there. I'm not going to spoil this, but there is a surprise cameo.
That was fan fucking tastic,
wasn't it? It was.
Yeah. That really was. So, that was better than Hugh Jackman in the X-Men First Class movie.
There you go. Yep. So I think that kind of wraps up summer movies. I think fairly we had some good superhero movies this summer, and we'll see what happens. So coming up, and you know, we've still got a few more movies coming up in 2012 here. The only one I'm caring about, though, comes out in December. And
hope it's not Great Gatsby, because that got moved back.
Yeah, no.
It was? Okay.
No. They're short and they're furry. Have furry feet, I should say. And that is The Hobbit. So I'm super excited to see this one. I may splurge and see it on the IMAX 3D. Because it was specifically filmed at, you know, faster frame rate and special 3D cameras. So, I mean... They had to adapt so much to the film. They had to kind of tint the makeup and everything and the clothing because it affects the way you see color. It's so sharp. So
yeah, there was it was at Comic Con. No, it was before Comic Con, I guess, where they previewed some footage and people were complaining that it looked too good, that it looked bad. If that makes any sense at all, like the
it looked like a newsreel. They said like it looks like the news or something. It was I don't know. They like it wasn't a movie you were watching, like something live, you know, like on the news. I guess I didn't see that, so I can't really, you know, comment on what the hell is wrong with those people. But really, I don't know.
They're probably the same people that think that Dark Knight Rises will end up being the best of the three.
Probably that's the same group of dumbasses. So yeah, no, that's really about it. I saw nothing. You know, you always had that lag between the summer movies and. I mean, Wreck-It Ralph will be coming out end of the year too. So that's I mentioned that one before. The Disney.
Oh yeah, that looks really good.
That looks like a fun movie.
Yeah. So that, you know, that'll be a nice family movie. But yeah, other than that, those two, there's just it's pretty much Jack and shit. Jack left town. So for the rest of the year. So we're gonna move on to fall television, which also is pretty much Jack and shit. So. You know, I spoke with Justin yesterday on the phone while buzzing heavily on some Savon Blanc. It was quite a fun conversation. But yeah, during which we mentioned Grimm came back with its second season.
Yeah, and they moved it to Mondays, which I was not prepared for. I watched the first season, and it's not – I didn't think it was great, but I'll keep watching it because what the fuck. But I didn't know they moved it to Mondays. And even
it's
worse –
It's only – I'm sorry, go ahead, Rob.
I was going to say, even worse is I had just moved, so I have a brand new cable box, and I had not, you know, put in all of the shows that I normally would have DVR'd, so Grimm was not on there. So I didn't even have my DVR to back me up for not knowing what day's stuff is on.
Well, it is on Next Day Hulu Plus, or Hulu. You'll be able to watch it on that, I think.
Yeah,
I think
well, I'm lazy, so...
Well, Rob, it's only Mondays for 4 weeks, and then it goes back to its Friday time
slot.
Oh,
yeah, because it's NBC, and they're just goddamn stupid.
Yes, they're a little bit on the special side.
So, yeah, this is kind of interesting because they ended the first season before the Olympics, and then they immediately started the second season right after it. So, and this isn't like, the Eureka half-season bullshit they tried to pull on Sci-Fi. Or no, that's a full season. Don't give me that 0.5 nonsense. So, but yeah, no, enjoy Grimm. So we'll keep watching that. Fringe was renewed, and so you've got the normal good shows we've mentioned in the past. But as far as new ones that are coming out, I'm curious about Revolution. I guess the people say the pilot was pretty good. It's being hyped a lot on NBC. Well, he seems to be the death toll of a show if they hype it up so much. And there's an interesting one I saw was 666 Park Avenue. Unfortunately, anything Sam O'Neill is involved with seems to not even last half a season.
Yeah, Alcatraz, which I actually enjoy is too strong a word, but I thought it was an interesting concept, and yeah, that didn't last.
It's something that should, wasn't allowed to.
Well, the crappy thing about that was is as the season of Alcatraz went on, it got better.
Yes,
but
exactly.
It got better too late, and they had already pulled the plug on it.
Yeah.
And it didn't help that it came in, not even like as a mid-season show. It was like after mid-season. So.
It was really weird because they showed like the pilot at like Comic-Con, and it didn't even like come out till like
just
a year later. It was they really kept pushing that one back. It was like a mid season. So when that actually came out. So, but yeah, 666 Park Avenue.
I have no idea what that is. Please tell me.
It's about an apartment building owned by, I guess, Sam O'Neill and.
And they're trying to get Zool to come back.
Yeah,
Zool.
There is no 666 Park Avenue, only Zool.
Yeah. So basically, they try and get tenants in there, and I guess there's evil stuff that goes down. It's about a couple, I guess, in particular that move in, and there's weird stuff. It was intriguing, and I think I saw the trailer at the movie theater. I think it's because of Sony Pictures' first look at it. So I might give it a shot. It'll probably I think it's on ABC, and they like to do these horror things and then cancel them like 5 weeks later. I don't know why they do that.
Terry O'Quinn, of Lost fame, and isn't it Vanessa? What's her face?
Oh yeah, Vanessa. What's her face?
God, I can't think of her last name to save my life.
Vanessa Betty. Williams. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry, who?
God, what the hell has she been in? It's not.
Oh, I don't really care. I thought you'd say I was coughing.
She was like a Miss America, right?
Vanessa. Oh, Vanessa Williams.
Yeah, her.
Yep. You know that hard last name to remember, of course, being Williams. So you know, we'll give it a shot. One that actually I just learned about the other day, and it was called something else before. And they changed the name, and I don't know if I like the name now, but it's called Hannibal. It's with Kevin Bacon and, I don't know, some other dude. But basically, it's like a serial killer, you know, the filers are trying to catch him. They're trying to catch – I don't know why they call it Hannibal. I don't know if it has anything to do with, like, the books. And,
wait, this isn't the show about Hannibal Lecter?
I do. Is that?
I mean, I'm not even making
that
up. There was supposed to be.
No, that's not with Kevin Bacon.
There was supposed to be a show called Hannibal about young Hannibal Lecter, which is just a stupid idea for a show. Which I'm pretty sure was NBC also, but I can't believe that's there's two shows named Hannibal.
Maybe I'm getting confused. Maybe that there is one. Let's see. Kevin Bacon. No, I have no idea.
There's Kevin Bacon. I don't remember the name of it's called.
Why is Kevin Bacon doing TV now? I just think you're lying to me.
No. It's called The Following, and it's a thriller.
Yeah.
So it's not Hannibal.
So maybe that's the one. Maybe, and there's another one called Hannibal about young Hannibal. So, I don't know. We'll just scrap that then. Fuck it.
Okay.
Fuck it. We'll do it live.
Nice.
And then, the only other show that seemed any good, and I don't even know it'll be good, it's just I'm curious about it, is Arrow on the CW. So, based on Green Arrow in the DC Comics, it's not a spinoff of Smallville. The early footage and trailers look good. We'll see if that popularity of Hawkeye from Avengers will transfer over to the CW. I doubt it, but you never know. So, yeah, shows not so excited for Animal Hospital. Which was shit.
And, you know, I like Justin Kirk on Weeds, but, yeah, that looks just horrible. And
see, here's the problem. I mean, A, it's a network show, and they're being quirky, but, you know, you stuff on Adult Swim, and they go full horse, man. They'll go for quirky, you know, full throttle, and it can be funny. With network TV, you just can't. You know, they're trying to go quirky, funny, and then they keep pulling back. You know, like, why are you explaining this? Like, there's a monkey on a little ambulance, you know, like.
No, I can't believe I care enough to even ask this question.
Yeah.
Is the monkey a doctor, or are they going that far with it, or is it just.
No, it's like
veterinarians, and there's a monkey running around the.
Yeah, it's veterinarians, and it's supposed to, yeah, and the guy is supposed to be, like, the main character, I guess the main guy. I don't know, he's the main character, but he's very serious about his job as a veterinarian. Like, he's kind of a douche about it. It's a joke with the monkey. I was like, the monkey's not going to be in every
episode. I would have been slightly more interested in a show with a monkey doctor.
Right, like, that's quirky, right? Like, you're going to go.
I mean, I still wouldn't watch it, but I would at least go, oh.
Yeah, they're thinking, okay, it's a monkey doc veterinarian.
Because, well, I mean, I would be interested in it because that would open the doors to more monkey television shows, and I'd be all over that. Like a monkey vampire show would be pretty interesting, I think. So, or monkey pirates, that would be awesome.
Monkey that would pirate. Be like bringing back Lancelot Link. Secret
yeah, oh yeah,
Chimp.
Secret Chimp. Yes, I was not going to mention that, so I.
there was also the, I guess you do have, speaking of which, and detectives, there is a, modern day Sherlock Holmes called, Elementary.
Oh, yeah, I saw that on BBC America. That was fantastic.
Was that on BBC America?
No, see, that's a joke because BBC America already did this.
Yeah, you talk about Benedict Cumberbatch.
And that was amazing. And I, all right, here's the thing. I'm just going to interrupt you right now because I am a massive Sherlock Holmes nerd. I've got like
which
just
anyone
shelves
who has listened to
Sherlock
any
Holmes
of these podcasts
books
with you will know.
What?
Anyone who's listened to these shows knows how much you love your Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, I do. Oh man, I've got just shelves and shelves of Sherlock Holmes books.
To live a
just,
man,
rush it's on insane. It. Like I've got the entire run of the BBC version of the original show with Jeremy Brett on DVD. It just I fucking love it. And yeah, the BBC one was really, really, really good. And then this thing with Lucy Liu and whoever the hell this other guy is, it makes me angry.
Yeah. Oh well, you shouldn't be angry because I bet you anything it'll only last a half a season, if that.
Well, it's on. Is it? It's NBC, right?
No, that's my impression of it. It's CBS, I think.
Oh, CBS. Oh, they've actually got other shit they could put on the air then. If it was NBC, it'll be on for a while. But
yeah, and the only other show I was going to mention because it makes me want to find the head of CW and run up to him and just punch him right in the face, and that's the remake of Beauty and the Beast. Don't do it. Just cancel it now. I
see that being one of the shows that gets canceled right after the first showing of the first episode. I can see that.
I have a feeling it's not, and there's going to be like a female following. Because here's the thing: you had Ron Perlman in the original, and he looks like a freaking beast. He has a lion head, you know. And it was a good, you know, it's kind of girly.
Oh, it
but
was
it was
not
a good show.
Girly. It was
and this
very
guy,
girly.
Yeah. But I was a kid at the time, you know.
But you know
like,
what? Back in the 80s, though, chicks wanted to fuck that lion dude.
I know.
Like,
they were all
like
about
crazy
fucking
crazy they wanted to fuck him.
they wanted that lion dick.
Yeah. But,
bestiality.
So, in this one, he doesn't look – I think he – can kind of turn into a beast. I don't know. But he basically just has a scar on his cheek. Which
oh,
is supposed
man,
to,
that's just, that's terrible.
Yeah. And he kind of has like a bit of a lion, not even a lion, I don't even know. Like they kind of, it seems like they kind of do something with his nose make it seem a little, I don't know.
Oh, his
but he
name's
looks
Leo. That's his big handicap.
Yeah. He's got a sexy scar on his cheek. Oh, the horror. He can't go out in fucking public because of that? Are you kidding me?
Oh yeah, you got to put a bag
like
on your head for
mane
something like that,
or fucking whiskers.
Cliche, a cliche.
Yeah. Well, did they at least get that guy from?
I don't know.
The guy that's in the Irish actor who's in Sons of Anarchy and he was in Gladiator. Did they at least get him to be the star? Because he's already got the facial scars. So.
He does have the facial scar, but no, I don't even think he's in it. No, not pretty enough for CW.
Oh.
And then of course they've got Christian Kruick, who I don't know. I'm never been impressed. I mean, she's pretty and all, but
yeah, I mean, I'd fuck her. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But that right out. I wouldn't watch her on TV.
Yeah. Well, I have a feeling not many people will with this either. So we can always hope. I hope it gets canceled for my sanity and the sanity of the human race. Yeah. So yeah, that ends TV. I'm angry at fall TV this year. I was hoping. I don't know. I shouldn't get my hopes up for network television, but man, it's a lot of shit. So yeah, we're going to move on because Kyle has a new segment and he better not mess it up.
I just want to add before we go to Kyle's new segment. Yep. I hope Mike in Ireland is listening and I hope he appreciates how antagonistic and combative I'm being this episode.
Do you just want to say something like right now that's antagonistic, just so?
No, I'm just I'm peppering it throughout. But
he'll get to it when he's damn good and ready. Don't worry about that. No, but thank you for that warm intro. We're going to go to the new segment, which is called the Swag Bag.
And what is Swag Bag about?
The Swag Bag will be devoted to actual physical items you can get one of two ways. Either through pre-order incentives or special edition, collector edition, limited edition, super fantastic, only 15 of them exist edition video games. The three tonight we will focus on are rather cool collector edition items. And then I also have a honorable mention, because this thing is something that no one is going to want to get now. The honorable mention goes to one of the games we've already discussed, Darksider 2's Collector's Edition item. The only way you can get it now is through shelling out about $200 on eBay or Amazon. Hopefully that will come down, as Mass Effect was pretty much, Aspect 3 was pretty much the same way after it came out, and now you can get it new for about $40. The Darksiders 2 Collector's Edition actually comes with a full-size replica mask of Death wears, and it comes on a stand. It looks pretty cool.
Which is, by the way, very, very freaking awesome looking.
Exactly, but it's going to run you about $200 at this point. So if it's something you want bad enough, which honestly I would like it, you're probably going to have to wait about 5 months minimum. Of course, that's if it goes down. It might not. So that's an honorable mention. The other three I have, we're pretty much running a Gearbox fan club tonight, because first up is Aliens Colonial Marines, the would-be successor to the Aliens movie. You actually get a full-size statue of the powerlifter fighting one of the aliens. It looks rather cool, actually. Gearbox is
full-size or life-size? Because life-size would be badass.
Yeah, that was a pretty bad choice of words. But it is a power lifter fighting the alien. They're all excited because it comes in a high box, which you get for the collector's edition. But Gearbox is really hyping this game. It's been blessed by the Aliens franchise, so hopefully it's going to turn out better than the last Aliens vs. Predator game. But after that, you've got, continuing with Gearbox, we're going to have Borderlands 2 Special Edition. You get a ton of stuff, including a bobblehead, but the thing that's cool is the Special Edition is going to be packaged in what looks like a loot box. So, one of the more creative ways of sending the game out. And then finally tonight, the mother of all swag for this week, Assassin's Creed 3 is not going skippy on their collector's edition. Anyone who follows the franchise knows that after Brotherhood...
If you don't get, like, the hidden wrist blades, then I'm not interested.
It's pretty cool. Brotherhood had a special edition, but it did not seem to sell too well over here. The UK for Revelations actually had about 3 special editions, while we got nothing for Revelations in the U.S.
Was Revelations the one that had... Or Brotherhood... Was that the one that had the Jack in the Box?
That was, and okay, there was like a special uber limited edition where you could get the jester-looking guy in the box. Otherwise, you got the Doctor. But
yeah,
Revelations
didn't
have
it. It was different. Different places had different ones.
Yeah, I think if you ordered from like GameStop pre-order or Amazon, you could get like the jester. But otherwise, if you just got the regular special edition, it was the Doctor. Revelations didn't have anything. But they are doing it big time now for Assassin's Creed 3. You can get a colonial flag, which has the assassin symbol in the middle of the circle stars. You get a belt buckle, which has the assassin symbol on it. And then to top it off, you get a statue that is about 10 inches by 6 inches of the new protagonist, Connor. And it looks pretty badass if you haven't seen it yet. The colonial flag's behind him. He's got his tomahawk in one hand. And since they're going with a half-English, half-Indian guy... The tomahawk blade is actually the assassin symbol, and it just looks really freaking cool. It's going to run you about $120 at this set, but statues like that will usually run you $60 to $80, maybe $100 if it's really high class. So it's really looking pretty good for the $120 if you're a real Assassin's Creed fan. So that's the swag we got in the swag bag this week.
Nice, very good. If you can get your mic workout next week, you can do it again.
Hooray!
So, all righty. Well, next week, really. I mean, that's being
way to
be optimistic.
Next episode.
I'm gonna try so hard. We're gonna do this weekly. I will die trying. Probably. Trying to get us to do this weekly. But yeah. So next week, hopefully, we'll have a new segment or. For at least for our listeners, or all two of you, Justin is a whore. So Justin will be giving us the latest, greatest in horror news.
Starting next week,
teaser. Tease your balls a little bit with their tongues, and you'll come back for more next week. And I think, and this might what cause might cause the show to run over a few minutes this week, because we have some good ones. We have the climax, and this is where we share our best and greatest dorkasm since the last show. Who would like to go first? Who has a dorkasm to share with the group?
Oh, sure.
I'll go with a quick one. I got a quick little thing I can throw out.
Fine, just walk all over me. Go ahead.
Mine's not going to stack up to you, Rob, so don't worry. My climax is not nearly as good as yours.
I know.
A lot of people have gotten excited over Resident Evil 6's multiple paths. There's going to be one for the action, which is Chris.
Hold on just a second. Who's excited about this exactly?
Some people are excited over Resident Evil 6.
Nobody's excited about this.
Rob, stop stealing the little bit I have. Anyway, there's Leon with his horror aspect, and then there's Wesker's kid with the straight-up nonstop balls-to-the-wall aspect. Well, it has been revealed lately that there will be a fourth campaign. It will not be multiplayer, and you actually have to beat the R3 to get it. Ada Wong will have her own exclusive campaign, which you get after you beat the other three.
Yeah, see, nobody's excited about that. You lied.
I said
to
it
everybody.
Was a very little dorkasm. Come on, I said it was not that big.
You just lied to all of our listener.
Did you even get a little chubby from that, though?
No,
just a little.
Okay. All our well, moving on. I am sorry for that.
Cool story, bro. So, Justin, right. you got anything, or are you too busy playing Modern Warfare 3 over there?
I'm quite enjoying my Modern Warfare 3 at the moment. I think everyone should stand in a line so I can shoot them in the face. But yeah, I got nothing at this moment. I'm really excited. My biggest thing was getting tickets for frickin' Comic-Con for next year. That's my big thing. I'm really happy to be going for a third year in a row next year.
Wow. You excited about some of the latest Call of Duty news too, it sounded like.
Oh yeah, so. Black Ops 2 looking pretty special. Like some of the additions that they're adding into it.
How are the multiplayer things looking? Because I know they just started talking about multiplayer. They just had a trailer release for it. Is it looking like it'll stack up?
It does. In the reason that I say that is because they're finally making things. I hate to say make sense, but it's like. You know, with UAVs and stuff, when you call them out so you can see everybody on the map, they're finally going to give you points if you call it out and your teammates kill people. So you'll start to get points for that. Maps themselves are quite colorful, and they stand out a bit more than previous games.
Yeah,
because
Black Ops is very bleak. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and that's a huge thing for me, too, is that they're making it stand out a little bit more. And so it's not everything's just run down in browns and grays and blacks. There's actually a lot of color in this one.
Huh.
And they've added a new mode, it sounds like, with 3v3v3.
Ooh.
Verse 3. Yeah, 3-3-3-3. Yeah, so there'll be 12 on the map, four teams of three, and y'all go at it. And I thought that was a cool concept. So
looking forward to it. That you mentioned that I thought was pretty interesting, and I don't know if it'll change my mind on it just being another Call of Duty game rehashed, but was the idea that you get six options, I guess, so you can choose your perks.
Yeah. It's called Pick 10, you can pick 10 things. So say you want to run with 5 perks. You can run with 5 perks, but that means you're going to have to go with maybe no equipment, no grenades, something like that. So you can actually just pick whatever you want to run with and go with it.
Too, or?
So you could have one gun and Uber out your perks so you're just a death machine.
Well, the reason that they're doing that too is they're making this more team-based, really. I mean, I know it's a team-based game anyway, but they're really making it so that you, say if you play with a group of people, everyone can set up a class that is focused on one thing.
So
if you're working together,
Team Fortress 2-esque.
Yeah, really, it is. Yes, and I think it's much needed because this is going to almost force players. Although you know it's not going to get everybody, it's going to force players to try and work together more and actually put some thought into how you're going to play and how you're going to set up your class. So. I mean, and that's just a little bit that they've talked about. I'm sure there's going to be a bit more, but those are some highlights of it, and I'm liking seeing so far.
Yeah, the past 2 weeks they've come out with a lot of information So hopefully they'll be coming out with some more. So there we go. We got that.
Rob, would you like to Dorkgasm?
Because you're so good, you want to go last.
Crispy, maybe you should just go while we try to get Rob back.
I think Rob fell asleep.
Sorry, I was sitting here talking, and I was on mute because I was coughing. no, I did point out that I did offer to go first, so I don't think I'm that special. But I've been playing a lot of Pocket Plane on my phone, which is made by the people that did Tiny Tower. It's a very fun game. I recommend checking it out because I believe it's free. I think it's a free game. Maybe I paid a buck for it. I think it's free. Anyway, that's not the exciting thing for me the last couple of weeks. Is I may have mentioned before, I really hate my PlayStation 3. I've always hated my PlayStation 3. I always treat it with disdain and disgust and a complete lack of respect.
Which cracks me up that you even have one.
I know.
You bought an expensive piece of equipment just to hate it.
Yep. I know. And I really did since pretty much the day I bought it. It sits there underneath the TV, and I just look at it with pure hatred, unless I want to watch a Blu-ray.
Most expensive paperweight you ever bought?
No, I mean, I use it a lot. It's a fantastic Blu-ray player and an up-converting DVD player. I use it all the time for that. But, I mean, I would not be surprised if I had gone, you know, a full calendar year without playing a video game on it. Up until recently, I've been watching a lot of Top Gear on BBC America because they only air three shows: Doctor Who, Top Gear, and Gordon Ramsay Kitchen Nightmares. That's all they show all the time. So I've been watching a lot of Top Gear, and I don't even like cars that much, but that show is fantastic. So I recommend checking that out too. And it's easy to do because it's on BBC America all the goddamn time. But I found out the Top Gear test track is in Gran Turismo 5 on the PlayStation 3.
Very cool.
So I quickly ran out to the store and bought it. It was like $40, brand new. And it came with a code so you can download all the DLC, which is pretty sweet because it's like $20 worth of DLC. So it's like car packs. And one thing that's stupid is you can paint your cars, you know, various colors in this game, except you can only use each color one time. Like, I got a Dodge Charger, and it was a hideous neon green color, so I painted it Dukes of Hazzard orange, and now I no longer have Dukes of Hazzard orange. If I want it again, then I basically would have to buy the paint pack for $1, which is just ridiculous.
With the paint pack, so you only get the color?
You get it once. You get whole palette of colors, but you get, like, one instance of it. So you
can't use it once per car. It's once, no, period.
Once, period. Once.
You get and then you color. Buy it for $1, the whole pack. Mm-hmm. It only gives you another iteration of each color once.
Mm-hmm.
That's, yeah.
Yep. I think around 100 cars in my little virtual garage. So I had originally thought, you know, I'm just going to paint them all the same color because I thought that would be amusing. But nope, that's certainly not possible because I'm not spending $100 on paint pack DLC. So,
but that's, you wasted the cherry red on like Volkswagen Rabbit or something.
So I was playing this and I was very, very excited whenever I found out that the car that I own right now, a Honda CRZ, the electric, the sports hybrid that they make, which I absolutely love, is in this game. And I thought, I was just amazed because I've never before owned a car that was in a racing game.
Well, that's pretty sad that they're putting a hybrid in a racing game because it's not going to go very fast.
It goes plenty fast, Kyle.
I bet they totally have a Dodge Caliber in there, don't they?
I don't know. I haven't really looked for one.
I doubt it. It's a turd.
The CRZ is odd for a race car or a sports car in that it has front wheel drive, but. No, actually, it is technically a sports car. So, yeah. So I was really excited. I thought that was awesome. So I immediately set about to earn enough money to buy the car in-game, and then I drove it for quite a bit, and that was awesome. And then I found out that my very first car, a 1986 Toyota Celica, is also in the game. And I was so happy. That was awesome.
You have two cars that were in the video game.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, wow, that is just fucking awesome. And I didn't even like racing games before, but this game, whenever I lose a race, I feel like I don't feel like the game cheated like a lot of racing games where they use rubber banding to, you know, keep everybody tight and make all the races close. Mm-hmm. Whenever I lose a race, there is no doubt that it is because I fucked up in some way. Like, I was not good enough to win that race. And so it actually, it keeps me interested and engaged, and I keep coming back to the races and doing them over and over, and getting better each time. It's pretty cool. But my happiness at having two cars that were in a racing game was diminished whenever I realized that it's not that my car... My two cars are so awesome. It's just that this game has so many cars in it that if they weren't in there, it would have been odd. So that's a little sad. But yeah, that's my recommendation. If you kind of like racing games, or you like the idea of racing games, but you suck at racing games, I would check this out, because it's a lot of fun.
Very cool. I think I'll check that out.
There you go. And it doesn't cheat like a motherfucker. Like fucking Mario Kart.
That's although, the real selling point, though.
There were a few races where I wish I had a blue shell.
Cool. Nice. So, all right. I guess it's my turn. I've got two climaxes because, you know, I have to one-up everybody else.
I thought I was
else.
Going last.
Oh, you got another one?
No, I just...
Is it just me, or is Rob's mic kind of cutting in and out? Is it just me?
I don't know.
Well, everyone's cutting in and out for me all night.
Yeah, me too. So I don't know what's going on.
Son of a bitch. We're getting DDoS'd, people. I don't know how that's even possible. I really doubt it. But yeah, so cool. I missed what you said last there. But so I've got two climaxes this week. I guess it's since the last show, I should say, technically. The first one. At first, it's going to seem kind of weird, but it's true. In an effort to connect with a younger generation, PBS hired an audio engineer or DJ or whatever. I don't know what he's technically is. To auto-tune some of the old shows, to make a song or whatever. And you might even like roll your eyes like, oh, what, you know, these are fantastic, especially the first one, which was Mr. Rogers. It's called, if you want to look it up, it's called Garden of Your Mind. And it basically takes, you know, clips from Mr. Rogers and makes a song with the words, you know, from the show. And it manages, it's funny, but it's also very, gives you that feeling of nostalgia you had as a kid. And it's very inspiring. So that was definitely the best. It was the first and the best so far. But they also did Bob Ross, who I used to watch occasionally, you know, the painter that would paint the Happy Little Trees. So they did an auto-tune for him. And it's all under PBS Digital Studios. And then they did – just came out this week, and they did Julia Child, who I think is probably the weakest of all three, only because her voice was already distorted as it was in real life.
Because she kind of talk like this, and it kind of sounded like she was chewing gravel.
No, well,
right on
she,
the potatoes.
It's having a stroke. That's what that's called.
It could be. I don't know.
But bring on the mashed potatoes.
But yeah, so yeah, it was. It's good. It's still good and it's still funny. But that one, you know, I was. It's so catchy. It'll stick in your head for days. And then. So there's that, and then the second climax. I guess this was a couple weeks ago. I got to meet the man, the myth, the legend, Rob Robinson in person for the first time.
Yeah, that was I can see why that would be pretty awesome for you.
I thought you would.
I'm disappointed.
Yeah, I
But now you owe him money.
No. I went into it that way, but not only did I not give him the money
now Justin owes you money.
What I thought was funny was I went into it thinking that I had a 10-year-old a debt, and then I walked out of it with the $20 still in my pocket, plus he got me an ice cream cone.
I totally did.
I came out ahead.
He did. Yeah, we used we were staying at I should kind of preface this whole meeting. I went, my wife and my daughter and I went down to Disney World with another family, and we did the whole staying at, you know, on the property at the Port Orleans Riverside, and we had a whole meal plan and everything. And the thing about the meal plan is that you get so many meals and snacks for that week. And by the end of the week, we still had a bunch of snacks left over. So I told Rob, just grab some ice cream from here, and you know, I'll just use, you know, the snack from a meal plan. It's illegal, and they're gonna get me now. But that was cool. So two things about Rob. He's a fucking cheater at cards. Not a big surprise. You know, you teach him a game, and he catches on so quickly that he's cheating within an hour.
I don't think I was cheating.
Oh, you totally reneged. I totally, so many times. On purpose.
Oh, no, I only did that once.
So, cheating. Yeah, so you admit it.
But, oh yeah, I did that on purpose.
It doesn't help that your partner was stealing the deal all the time, too.
Yeah, that was pretty fantastic.
Yeah. Taking advantage of the fact that we're like, talking.
Real quick, though. You might not want to dorkgasm all over Rob again. You know, your man there will get jealous.
What, Justin?
Why do you get trash up the podcast, Kyle?
Leave me alone.
Justin and I have an open relationship, so it's all good.
That's right. Trashy.
And Rob's mentioned, and the second thing interesting about Rob that he mentioned in previous, I don't know if it was an AOWF radio, whatever that is, that other thing that we might or might not do, and or a pod or another dorkgasm, is the fact he's mentioned before that people always seem to think that he's angry because of his normal facial expression. I didn't find that necessarily to be true, but the great thing is that Rob has this very blank expression, and then you get him to smile, and it'll come up, and then literally, it's like a magic trick; it disappears within 2 seconds. So like
that is true.
He'll be laughing, and then just it's done. It was great. It's fantastic. So, but no, he I will dispel that myth. He does show emotion, just not for very long.
Yeah.
So it's pretty funny. That, and I completely forgot that you had a ponytail. So, because most of your pictures are from straight on. So.
It's called a phony tail.
All right. What the hell is that supposed to mean? It's real hair.
I tugged on it. No, I didn't.
You tugged on it? What did you two do?
There's several hours, you know?
Yeah.
We met at Downtown Disney, which was a terrible idea on my part. I thought it'd be easy to do, but it just happened to be on, I guess, that day of the year where everyone is there shopping.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It was pretty nutty. So I convinced Rob to come back to my place because I'm a smooth talker. So my second great idea was to go to the bar at the resort because there was no one there all week. And then it just happened to be that night they had a terrible guy at the piano playing this, you know, like suspenders, a bowler hat, the whole thing, singing pop songs to. I can't even describe the crowd. They were digging it, I guess. But
yeah, it was almost like an old-timey style that he was doing it too.
It was, yeah.
It reminded me of that guy. What's that guy's name? The guy that does the political songs. He's on PBS.
He's on PBS, right?
Mark Russell, is that his name?
Something like that. Yeah, but he came up with his own songs. Although I guess he came up with the lyrics and then sang it to.
It was that style of just.
And this dude is literally rocking the piano when he's playing it. Like, this piano is rocking back and forth. And
yeah, it looked like he was fucking it. I mean, Crispy's he's tiptoeing around it, but it looked like the guy was
really was. He was banging the shit out of that piano. Yeah,
and he had to be doing it, and he was doing it with his hips because he was playing and fucking the piano to get it to rock.
Yeah, he's talented
for a Disney operation. If you think about it.
But he was getting that crowd involved, and they were all about it. It made it very difficult to talk, and then eventually, my friend Miguel came out. And we got some euchre going. We taught Rob and his wife some euchre, which for those of you out there who may or may not know, it's a game that seems very heavily based in Michigan, but it's much like the game Spades, but two person teams. And Rob likes to think that he won two games.
Yes,
out of three.
I like to think that because I did win two games out of three.
Okay, but here's the thing: the first game we played like half of it open handed,
it's not my
game.
Problem.
Yeah, that's like the throwaway game. That doesn't really count.
But it did count.
And we totally in your mind, because that makes you feel better. I mean, you beat your wife. I mean, do you feel good about beating your wife, Rob? Do you?
Yeah, really? she's very lippy.
Wow.
She needs to be brought down a peg or two sometimes.
I can tell that she's quietly knitting across the table. Yeah.
She's just sharpening those things, so you know when the time is right.
I did not know, but apparently trash talk is a big part of this game.
That was Rob's favorite part.
That was my favorite, actually. Yeah, it was. That's just what I do naturally, so that was fantastic. I wasn't even aware I was doing it until it was pointed out. So
yeah,
nice.
But he caught on to that the fastest, I think.
Unnatural.
Your trash talking far, exceeded your skill at the game, but
that's okay.
It's, but no, it was a blast. And I had a good time. I finally got to meet Rob after like 12 years, almost 13 years.
Yeah.
So I had a good time. We played till like 3 a.m. Like the cleaning crew was like staring at us, like tapping their feet and making threatening gestures. But we're just sitting there playing some euchre. At the resort, it sounds. I know it sounds so exciting, but it was actually. I had a really good time. I think Rob is addicted now. He's playing. Said he's been playing on his phone.
Yep. And
it's probably not the same though. You can't really trash talk at the computer.
Oh, I do, but
he doesn't know how to shut it off.
Yeah. It's
you couldn't make it cry itself to sleep at night like you did.
Yeah, that's true.
It was rough.
Awesome.
I came back and Mandy was like, "What's wrong?" And I just buried my head in my pillow, and my tears, had made it moist the entire night. It was awful. But it was a good time. We should definitely try and get some action going. I think I saw that Yahoo. You can still do the euchre.
Excellent.
So you can group up with your friends and.
What did I walk back in on about moist action?
Rob made me cry myself to sleep because he beat me at euchre. So that's what he tells himself, and I'm going to let him believe it so he feels better.
That's probably the best. Don't let the Wookiee win. Let Rob win.
Don't let the Wookiee win. Yeah, let the.
So well that I'm sure people are just thrilled here about our night. So that's it. I think it's been like an hour and 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Or 70 minutes if you like to do it that way.
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
Or an hour and a sixth.
No. I don't like that one.
Yeah. I mean, nobody does that. But
being contrary for Mike, that's all. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So, that's it. That's it for this. I was going to say for this week, but... let's be realistic.
We're gonna do it.
Okay, fine. That's it for this week, and we'll be back next week to because we don't want to disappoint our loyal listener out there. So.
What was her name again?
Becky?
Sherry.
Oh, that was close.
You know, we have one listener. We should at least try and remember her name. That probably would be.
Yeah. So I hope you like that, Sherry.
Thanks for your request and dedication.
Yeah, and you know what? Hell, I'll just throw this out there. If you want, I will do my best to try to make you cry on the next episode. So
I don't know if that's going to keep the fan coming, Rob. I mean, it's
just
a good
time
to cry.
It's like a personalized thing. I was going to personalize the episode, But what I specialize in is making people cry. So, I mean,
I don't know. I'm pretty tough. I'm a cookie, tough nut to crack.
At least I'm offering.
Unless you crack me in the nuts, then I might cry.
Well, yeah. That's always, you know. I was going to say that's the last resort. That's not the last resort. That's pretty much my first resort if I were to get into a fist fight. I would just immediately go to the nuts because I'm like, why the fuck wouldn't you? But that's...
You're saving time, really.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that just it's just stupid not to. But that's... You know, I'm going to save that for my self-defense podcast. Yeah, so... All right, that's it for this week, and we'll be back... yeah, right, next week. So
next week.
All right.
Better believe it.